Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 14 of the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. I'm your host, Brian Sippets. You can reach me at HockeyStrengthPodcast@gmail.com. As always, feel free to contact me if you have questions or comments about today's episode, or if you'd like to hear us discuss specific issues in the future. Today, we'll be continuing our discussions with presenters from the Great Lakes Hockey Strength and Conditioning Clinic coming up on May 9th, 2015 at Eastern Michigan University. This one-day event features seven of the Midwest's top coaches and presenters, and it's going to provide a ton of great information for anyone who works with hockey players. Our presenters include Joe Marr from the University of Michigan, Justin Rothlingscheffer from Miami University, and Daryl Nelson from USA Hockey's National Team Development Program. Each speaker will share information on how to better prepare your hockey players for the game. To check out the full schedule of presenters and topics, head to GreatLakesHockeyStrength.com. You can even register for this great event online and earn CEUs for attending. In just a minute, we'll be talking with Miami University hockey strength coach Justin Rothlingscheffer. But first, in case you aren't familiar with HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, it's the web's greatest collection of hockey strength and conditioning information, complete with material from the top NHL, collegiate, and private strength coaches. At HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, you'll find hundreds of articles, videos, programs, and webinars, all geared towards improving the performance of hockey players. So whether you're a strength and conditioning professional, a motivated player, youth coach, or hockey parent, HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com is the only training resource you'll ever need to produce healthier, stronger, more effective players at any level. New articles, videos, and programs are posted weekly, along with periodic podcasts and webinars, and all of our coaches weigh in on the ongoing forum discussions. If you're new to HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, you can gain instant access to our members-only content for just $1 for the first 7 days. You'll be able to check out training videos, current programs, and articles from some of the best strength coaches in hockey, or they can answer your questions directly in the forum. We know you're going to love the content, but if you aren't completely happy with it, simply cancel your trial membership and you'll be out just a buck. After the 7-day trial period, you can continue to be a member for just $14.95 a month. Or you can sign up for the year for just $149 and receive 2 months free. Either option is an incredible bargain for so much material from these great coaches, so don't miss your chance to be a part of the community. Alright, well, we have a quick turnaround here from episode 13 published last week. Be sure to check that out because it's the first in a series of Hockey Strength podcasts where we speak with presenters for the upcoming Great Lakes Hockey Strength and Conditioning Clinic. Last week we spoke with Jim McKee about his presentation topic, Unconscious Learning and Athletic Performance. And today on episode 14, we're talking with Miami University hockey strength coach Justin Rothlingscheffer. All right, Justin's ready to get going, so let's get started with Miami Hockey's Justin Rothlingscheffer. All right, we're on the phone with Justin Rothlingscheffer from Miami University Hockey. They're out in Denver today, so Justin, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks for doing this, Brian. I really appreciate it.
Sure thing. So we're going to talk a little bit about your presentation coming up here for the Great Lakes Clinic, which we're really excited about. We're excited to have you. You're actually going to be coming in from another speaking engagement, so we're happy you're able to join us.
I really appreciate the invite. It's great to be able to get up there and talk to some people. And like you had mentioned, be coming up from the CSCTA National Conference down in Nashville. So it'll be a real quick week.
Well, good. Like I said, it's a great opportunity for us to hear from you and hear what you have to say. So kind of impresses me the most is just how much you really do with that program. We talked a little bit about your daily schedule, but first I'd like to know a little bit of how did you end up at Miami? I know there's certifications. You could write a book about your certifications there and the wealth of knowledge that you have. So how did you come about all of these, learning courses and what's your stance on why is that important to you and where did you come from in the strength and conditioning world?
Absolutely. As a young coach, coming up through the ranks, and even dating back to when I was a player, I always had a passion for knowledge and what created that optimal performance state. And when I was playing, I read a lot. I did a lot of did everything for myself that I could, working with some very top level coaches. And I really noticed the difference when I did things properly and when maybe I lacked on a couple of things. And so that kind of perpetuated my interest in it. And so every summer I do an internship, and the reason was kind of twofold. It was one, so that I could get that top-level training from the strength coaches that were there and use those top-of-the-line facilities, but also to continue to learn and to perpetuate my development in that aspect for my life after hockey. And so those places involved the Edmonton Eskimos and the CFL was my very first one. And then from there I went and worked with Rajesh Patel at Quinnipiac University. And then after that worked with the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Edmonton Oilers and the Springfield Falcons, who are the American League affiliate of Columbus. And my senior year, actually, I ended up being with them the entire season. And once our season was over, I went and actually got the opportunity to play golf with them, and was their third goaltender, and was interning with their strength guy. And so that kind of all perpetuated itself and allowed me to get really deep into the hockey world. And then I actually worked with the Blue Jackets for another year after that, in Columbus, and back and forth between Springfield, and kind of trying to determine what I wanted to do with it and what my next steps were. And again, like I said, driving education was such a big component to getting to where I wanted to be. And I got the opportunity from Tina Murray at Louisville to come down and be a professional intern for my first year, and then go on and be her graduate assistant. And and being there again, it was just such a wealth of knowledge that I gained in being in a top tier Division I school with pretty much a sports performance program that rivals any in the country. And being able to utilize the skills and techniques that I learned there, and be a part of an athletic program that top to bottom every single team that's there was successful. The year that I was there, one of the years that I was there, it was cloned the year of the Cardinal, because the baseball team went to the College World Series, the football team won the BCS Bowl, their men's basketball team won national championship, their women's basketball team lost in the national championship game. Both soccers went to I think Elite Eight, and softball went deep. I mean, it was dumb how effective they were, and the success they had. They had a couple world champions in swimming and diving, Olympic athletes. I think they had four that went that year. So it just the list went on and on and on and on. And so again, being there it led me to the opportunity to come here and be at Miami. And during my last year of my master's degree, my last semester, I had a few different options. I was interviewing with a couple different places, talking with a couple NHL teams, and then I got the opportunity here at Miami. And it was a for sure thing, and it just ended up being a great place for me, a great fit, a great place to kind of create my own name for myself, my own brand, my own programming set, and a way to really drive more of my needs and wants and aspirations as a strength coach, and to utilize them in a real life setting, which has just been fantastic. And and then along with that, again, the education part, which Tina talked about all the time, was continually trying to improve yourself. And so during my time getting my master's degree, I also got my massage therapy license. I went and got my kinesiotape certification, obviously FMS, and my USAW, my Olympic weightlifting. And then, again, the whole premise of being a professional intern at Louisville was to go and get the CSCCA, which is the collegiate strength and conditioning certified certification, which you have to do, I think I can't remember the exact number of internship hours, but you have to do a curriculum under a master strength and conditioning coach who has basically been in the CCA organization for 10 plus years as either a collegiate or a professional strength coach. So again, they kind of have that designation and certification is a little bit more prestigious than some of the others where you just have to go write an exam or whatever, but there's a bit more of a process involved in that, and that's kind of, again, just why I've been doing certain things, and it's led me to obviously the certifications and the place that I am, and it really drives the way that I run my program here at Miami.
Yeah, I think you know, one of the unique parts of that is, you spent some time in some hockey places, and you were in the NHL, you were in the American League, you were in, pretty much every level coming up. And then the culminating experience was a place where they don't have an NCAA hockey program.
I think making my decision to go to Louisville, it was a scary thing for me to kind of get out of hockey, because that's where I wanted to be. But again, looking to people for advice and for recommendations in trying to make my road, that's really what they said was if you want to continue to develop and get to a place where you can really be effective and be a game changer at that level, you might have to take a step out. And you know what, that was the best thing for me because I learned a lot of things and got my feet wet in a lot of different technologies, a lot of different methods, a lot of different ideologies that otherwise wouldn't have occurred. I wouldn't have found these different avenues and paths and ways of training and ways to get the job done because hockey's really behind the times in a lot of the training methodologies, the technologies, and a lot of the new age stuff, quote unquote, that's kind of out there. It's kind of been just, hey, this is for hockey players. We're different. We don't need to train that way, or it doesn't fit for the mold of hockey. And again, bringing it to Miami has been awesome because it's really opened a lot of people's eyes to what you can do when you utilize data and technology to drive performance and to do that is again kind of a game changer in certain ways.
Yeah, and that leads us right into your presentation topic and I know you're far more involved than any other strength coach that I've heard. A lot of times the extra work for the strength and conditioning coach might be taking the healthy scratches for a workout during the game or something like that. But you're especially game day, you're far more involved with the players. I know there's you give the guys soft tissue treatments, game day, you're preparing nutrition for them. So you're definitely an essential cog in that wheel. So I know that, at least game day is really busy for you, let alone, the normal training schedule. So, you're clearly taking what you believe in and you're taking it there to Miami. So you're going to be presenting on data utilization to drive performance. So tell us about how that kind of came with you from Louisville and how you're using it at Miami and how you, plan to use it.
Absolutely. So, when I first started and had to create a system in place at Miami, I threw around a whole bunch of ideas and how I wanted to go about things and how I wanted to start things. And I happened to come across a guy down in Miami, Miami, Florida, not Miami, Ohio, but Miami, Florida. And we started talking a lot and we actually became business partners. And what we kind of found was that the system in itself and how things are done is kind of broken. And why I say that is because there's no ultimate, this is the number one thing you need to do. You just don't need to, heart rate analysis, the best thing that you can do, or GPS analysis, the best thing you can do, or velocity-based training, the best thing you can do. And it's about taking a system and bringing it all together to create that ultimate performance state, which I kind of mentioned earlier. And you know, everything from talent ID to screening to actually in-season and out-of-season training between tracking readiness scores, looking at the power tracking throughout the year, your reaction times, your surveys that you're doing to make sure guys are feeling good, the velocity-based training that you do in the gym, and then obviously your in-game or in-practice sport-specific tracking between GPS, heart rate, and then melding all that together between your nutrition, your recovery, your soft tissue work, and then bringing you together. So now you're not leaving any stone unturned. You're really encapsulating every single part of performance and doing something to maximize your effect in it. Because granted, in a season, you're going to have ups and downs in sports that you just can't control. There's going to be, you're still dealing with kids that are 18 to 23, 24 years old that, you know what, they have other things going on in their lives. They have school, they have girlfriends in some situations, they have families that there's factors going on with. And so you have to be able to find what inspires, what motivates, what really helps each individual in a certain given point in the season and in a certain point of their life. Because, again, you've got guys that are mature faster than others. You've got guys that are going to have more training base behind them. And then also you're going to have guys that certain things work for one guy that don't work for the other. So you can't test two or three guys or take a look at two or three tendencies and then make that a blanket statement for everybody. It's really nice to be able to have an individual aspect for everybody. And I think full credit goes to Miami and the coaching staff we have here for buying into everything that I've tried to bring in and put in place. But giving me autonomy over that and then only having to work with hockey, that's my only sport. So being right with them and have my own weight room right in the rink gives me full access to these guys all the time. And so being able to have a real good personal relationship with these athletes and know what makes each guy tick, and in particularly is key to driving a setup like this and making the system work. Because if you don't have a coach that believes in it or that buys into what you're doing or what you're talking about, that's a step back. If I don't have the contact hours that I do with these guys, that would limit my ability to make an impact. But basically having that hands-on aspect of these guys really ultimately allows me to do what I do with these guys.
Yeah, that's for sure. When you're on staff there at Miami, I mean, you're definitely part of the family. You know, Rico's been like that. I played there, I guess, about 13 years ago now. So Rico is my coach as well. So, but when you're in with Miami Hockey, you're part of the family and kind of always will be. So you're going to get that support from them. And that's just a great environment to work in. And obviously you have the facilities to do it as well.
Absolutely. It's the brotherhood they speak of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, you mentioned using GPS and using these technologies and things like that. You know, sometimes it's been popular in soccer for a long time just because of the distance those guys are moving. Is that something you're using at Miami? You're using GPS, and what are some of the other technologies you're using?
Absolutely. So when guys first come in, and especially within your groups and stuff like that, we got talent identification, basically looking at the athleticism of each athlete through a series of tests that we put together that create a hockey-specific protocol. And so obviously you look at more athletic kids, you look at and being able to quantify that. And so you can quantify athleticism now. And so here we're able to break down, okay, you know what, we're weak in this area of development, or we're weak in this area of development, or we're weak in this area of development. So some guys over the summers, I'm going to focus more on off-ice strength. Some guys I'm going to work on, because we have the strength, we can emphasize more on our power output. For some guys, we've got both of those. Now we're going to work on help on transferring that over to on-ice in their skating, whether it's their energy systems. So now that we have that quantified number for athleticism, we can basically have a little bit of a roadmap of what each guy's system or what each guy's program over the summer is going to look like. Then once we have that down, then we screen everybody. So now we're basically going through and having a, again, a specific screen that we do, basically look at biomechanics of every single guy, how they move through different planes of motion, what our kinetic chains look like, where are we weak, where's the asymmetries, where's muscle asymmetries, where's our movement dysfunctions, and basically identifying those so that now that becomes the foundation of our first phase of training, so that we correct a lot of these imbalances, correct a lot of these movement dysfunctions, and so that now we're moving more efficiently, that athleticism score is automatically going to start to go up, and we can, again, monitor that over the course of time. And then from there, it's pretty much hitting it and go. So using velocity-based training in the weight room, so prescribing everything based off bar speeds, again, a simple way to quantify the work that we're doing in there. Utilizing surveys and a particular unit that basically tests readiness, giving me a quantifiable number that looks at how ready each guy is on any given day of training. So there's a difference between being prepared and being ready. If you're prepared, if you train over the course of a year, you're preparing yourself. You're prepared. But being ready means that you're at the top of any physical level when it comes time for game time, or when it comes time to actually perform. It's possible to be prepared but not ready, but it's not possible to be ready and not prepared. And again, that gives us a quantifiable way to look at that. Tracking reaction times, basically looking at, again, how the nervous system is firing, how we're reacting to a lot of training that we're doing. Are we getting better? Are we getting worse? Are we staying the same? Obviously, if it's a latter of the two, then we have to make changes. We have to look at that data that we're getting and not just say, oh, you know what, something's wrong there, or you know what, maybe that's incorrect. If we see something that's positive, awesome, that's great. If we see something that's negative, awesome, that's great too, because now we can make a change that's going to turn it to a positive. So that's the biggest thing about utilizing that numbers and quantifying things, is that you can see where you're improving, see where you're maybe regressing or staying the same, and you can make changes and jump on top of that, not once the season starts, but even from a day-to-day basis. And that goes back to our tracking, where we track everything, we look at everything, there's numbers to everything. And so once guys are done in the weight room in the summer, or done on the ice or a conditioning session or whatever we're doing, I spend probably the next 3 or 4 hours just looking at numbers and comparing things, and over the weekend. And so on any given day, there's so much data being pushed around and being looked at that you really get a whole roadmap of how these guys are actually either improving, regressing, or staying the same in different areas of performance. And ultimately what we want to do is have every single number improve and ultimately drive that performance. And once we have that, that's obviously the pinnacle of what we're trying to do. Again, once we get into, like I said, specific parameters with our GPS and heart rate, I program all practices off of our heart rate and our GPS data with the coaching staff, and look at and basically take a look at the data and how we progress a guy over the course of a week, and over a month, and over ultimately the year. And there's certain key points of each that we look at. We look at the from GPS, the speed of movement, the number of changes of direction, the time spent at peak speed, the number of contacts, and then obviously the overall player load. And we can compare that to our heart rate. And if we're at peak speed and our heart rate isn't peaking, well, you know what? That's great. We're able to do more work with a lower percentage of our heart rate, and basically look at over the course of time how that starts to fluctuate. Do we need to give this guy a day off? Do we need to back up on our volume? Do we need to increase our intensities? Over the course of time, maybe, you know what, we play two games where we've kind of changed the way that we play the game a little bit simply because of the opponent that we're having. Or perfect example, when we're going from a NHL size rink to a Olympic size rink, if we're going up to St. Cloud or if we're playing Denver, we're at altitude. How does that affect it? The difference in the size of the rinks. Well, if you're playing on a bigger rink, We know that you're going to have fewer collisions just simply because of the, think of atoms. It's something in a solid, you're going to have more collisions. Something in a gas, you're going to have fewer. So if you've got a bigger area of space, there's going to be fewer collisions. But you know what? In those cases, we also had some of our biggest total distance covered and our highest velocities at those times because we have more room to move. So the loads are going to be different. We have to prepare guys differently for those weeks, and we also have to help them prepare for the weeks after differently from those weeks through the course of the year, so that again, come Friday, come Saturday, we're peaking and maintaining ourselves over the course of time.
Wow, I mean, that's just, it's so much data to go through, you know, and you know, I guess the one thing that comes to mind for me as a former player, do you keep the players up to date on this? I mean, they're going to see their numbers and how they move and things like that. Do you fill them in on that, or is it just here's the practice plan, let's go? Because I could see it being,
you know what,
something like a paralysis by analysis situation where guys are like, oh, you know, my numbers are dropping, I this and that. So do you fill them in, or is it like, here's your plan, go?
So at the beginning of the year, we sat down and kind of went through everything that we were going to be doing with the guys. And of course, at first you lay this out and it's overwhelming to them. But what was beautiful about it is that I got to do it over the course of the summer. And so I started implementing everything top down, I think the second or third day I got here. So now by this time, it's just second nature. The guys know, and they talk, it's funny because they start to talk in our language. Like, Justin, what's my load at? Or what was my time at top peak speed? And they're just curious now. But the way that I lay things out and the information I give them is things that they is enough information so that they can understand what's going on and why they're doing certain things. Like, why do you have to come in for an extra regen session this week? Or why do you have to do more corrective work this week? Or why are we backing off on the number of lifts we're doing? Or why are we adding an extra lift? Or why are we having you come in and do two extra massages this week, or whatever it may be? Or why are we upping your calorical values this week? There's always a reason behind it, and I think at the beginning you kind of had to explain a little bit more to them in order to earn that trust. But the fact that feedbacks now from guys, and obviously from the surveys and RPEs and everything like that, the guys feel the best they've ever felt. From guys that are seniors to guys even that are freshmen coming from junior. At this point of the season, I mean, they feel the best they've ever felt. And I mean, knock on wood, we don't have a single injury this year that's kept anybody out of the game. Other than, I had a guy break his wrist in, he wasn't even with us. It was an unrelated incident. He was in an open skate. And you look at that, and I mean, that in itself, goes I think to show what we're doing is leading us in the right direction, and we're doing things appropriately from in terms of development and in terms of recovery, and even in terms of recovery, we do things again once we have all those processes in place. That's when our nutrition comes into play with basically looking at what every single guy needs from an individual facet, utilizing different supplementation processes to make sure that we're not cramping, make sure that we're hydrated properly, make sure that we are helping ourselves recover from utilizing massage, utilizing soft tissue techniques, utilizing, our shakes immediately after our weigh-ins, our weigh-outs, and everything. There's a process to it. My business partner came down last week and basically looked at everything, at the way that we implemented it, and he goes, it's amazing how your guys have just adopted this as their own now, and this is just the way that life is I don't have to harbor them on doing A, B, C, and D. It's, they just do it. That's just the way of life. That's how it is. Before I get on the ice, I do A, B, C, D, and E. Okay, all checked, away we go. And it's I don't have to be on top of it anymore. It's just it's turned into a habit. And once you make things a habit, it becomes a part of you, which you can see these guys that are owning it, and it's become very it's basically taken a positive role in the program and obviously our year. And hopefully everything continues to go well for us and to prove that that it is working.
Well, yeah, I mean, in just in terms of standing, such a big turnaround from last year. You know, and if the guys are feeling the best they've ever felt at the end of a year, I mean, something's going right there. So,
absolutely.
Well, Justin, we're looking forward to seeing a little bit more about that or hearing more about that and hearing about how you are able to weave all of that information together to individualize things for guys and to keep them at peak performance even this late in the year. Again, you'll be speaking at the Great Lakes Clinic coming up on May 9th, and we look forward to hearing more about how you use data to drive performance.
Absolutely, Brian. I'm excited to be there and excited to talk to everybody and kind of get some feedback and see what see how it's accepted by other people and see what other people have to say. Because, I mean, obviously there's a lot to be learned everywhere, and I'm excited to be there. So we'll see you in May.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Justin.
Thanks much, Brian.
Take care. All right, that's going to do it for episode 14 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. Don't forget you can hear from Justin, Jim, and more of the Midwest region's top hockey strength coaches at the very first Great Lakes Hockey Strength and Conditioning Clinic, being held at Eastern Michigan University on May 9th. Get more information and register at greatlakeshockeystrength.com. This is Brian Sippets for the Hockey Strength Podcast. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. Be on the lookout for episode 15 coming up next week. We'll be speaking with our next Great Lakes presenter, Dr. Steve McGregor. Dr. McGregor is the director of Eastern Michigan University's Applied Exercise Physiology Graduate Program, and he'll be presenting his new research about quantifying on-ice training load. Until then, be sure to train smart. Thanks for listening, everybody.